Jesus, we glorify your name, Lord. We glorify your name and we speak peace over this place. We speak peace over this place and we break off confusion in the name of Jesus. We glorify your name, we magnify you, Lord. For you're so much more than just the Savior of our life, but you're the air we breathe. You are the song we sing. You are the bread we eat. You are the new wine. We glorify you, Lord. And we ask for more. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit presence would just increase in this place. That the angelic choirs that are singing with us, that they would usher in a new song. We ask for increase right now in the name of Jesus. Just an ease and a fluidity and a peace that surpasses our current understanding. Father, give us new understandings of the depth of your love for us and the depth of your love for those around us and for the nations. And Father, as we head into a week of 24/7 prayer, Lord, we ask for your eyes to see and your ears to hear, that your words would be on our lips and your song would come out of our soul, that we would be led by you and you alone, and that you would be the great conductor of this great week. Father, we speak peace over this church body, over this sanctuary, over this place, over this building. And we thank you for the miraculous which is yet to happen, and for the miracles that we've seen already. We give you all of the glory and all of the honor, because you deserve all of the praise, and we magnify you, for you alone are worthy. You alone, O Lord, are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand where you are and just drink in the presence of the Lord. Just drink it in. Just be still. Just be still and drink in. Drink in and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the overflowing abundance of his love and grace, of his enduring mercy, and of his power. Fill us, O Lord. Give us strength and stamina. And Father, replace confusion with understanding, and groaning and complaining with rejoicing and happiness. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. We just declare that this service is your service, O Lord. And we thank you for what you are doing here. We welcome increase. We welcome increase in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jamie, if you have a moment, just share a little bit about 24/7 prayer. Would that be okay? I know it's on your heart, and it's on my heart to have you share your heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this next week, we have an awesome opportunity here at Frontline Worship Center to partner with the Lord's heart, to partner with heaven and what's happening in this region and throughout Ohio and throughout the United States and in the world. God's heartbeat. How many of you want to hear God's heartbeat? How many of you want to just know what is on your heart? God, what are you doing? What are you saying? How are you saying it? How are you doing it? The thing is he's so good. He's not just this omnipotent God and all almighty. I do everything on my own. He's so loving and kind that he wants to use his children. He wants to partner with those that say, I'm all yours. His eyes are searching to and fro, looking throughout the earth, looking for those who are wanting to hear the sounds of heaven. So this next week, we have the opportunity. It's called 24/7 prayer, and it starts tonight, I believe, at 12 a.m. Yeah, it starts tonight. We normally have nightly worship services from 7 to 9, but tonight it starts at 12 a.m., just the ongoing 24/7 prayer. And so this time around, things look marvelous in this place, in this church, with the new chairs and carpet. So actually, we're going to be having stations in the back and just basically places where you can understand the vision and the heart of what God's doing in business, education on the different campuses in this region, and entertainment and media, praying in God's heart that you know, lost souls would come into this into the kingdom, purity and holiness throughout America, and for our government, for our leaders, and also for missions and international global awakening and all those things. And so there's going to be lots of materials back there for you to look at, for you to just tear your, eyes through and just look, wow, look what God's doing. Look what's going on. Look what I can pray into, what I can sow into with my prayer. And so we've had people, you know, spend the night, come at, 4 a.m., take a nap, wake back up and just enter back into intercession and prayer. And so it's basically open the whole time. And so there's a sign-up sheet back there, I believe, that Carly printed out on in the foyer on the table, so you can sign up there. And there's also a sign up sheet on our website as well for you to sign up. It's not necessary for you to sign up, but it's also good to know who's at the church during these hours and who's giving up their time, sacrificing their time to be there to pray. So we encourage you and invite you to come. And one more thing, it's really exciting. We have two worship teams outside of Frontline that are coming to partner with us on Tuesday and Thursday night. One's from YWAM and Akron Assembly of God, I think, Akron First Assembly, and the other one is called In the Whisper. And so they're going to be taking an hour of worship, and it's so cool. The worship team's really excited because this is the body of Christ coming together and linking hearts and arms to see God's kingdom come and will be done. So if you need more information, there's a flyer in the back that'll give you more, but just come and give and pray and sow and spend yourself on the Lord. Amen.
And so after the service, if you can stick around and just help us move some of the chairs in the back. We're going to move them off to the side, and Dylan, I'm sure, will help coordinate that. But specifically, just so you know, to make sure you understand, it's not just 24/7 status quo. This is 24/7 amped up on steroids, because Jesus amps everything up every time. So we're going from glory to glory, but even more so, hopefully you understand that Jamie mentioned we have two outside worship teams coming in this week. So we'll have worship every day, 7 to 9, and specifically Tuesday and Thursday, we'll have two different groups, one from YWAM, another one called The Whisper. And so they're going to be out here. Let's not only be here, but let's invite those who maybe never have been here to come in and fully experience the presence of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, before we release the children, if you would, there's lots of you, lay your hands on a child near you. And we're just going to bless them, that their life would be overly abundant. So right now, as we lay hands on the children, Lord, we thank you for these children, for this next generation. We call them to rise up as future forerunners. We call them to rise up as the next generation, as warriors in your presence. And Lord, that they would come to know that you and you alone are the answer to every question, and that you are the life that will sustain them. We bless these little ones, and we send them on their way. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, be released. Kingdom kids. Have fun as you go. Okay, so as they go, let me introduce myself. My name is Mike Wheeler, and you might be used to seeing my parents up here, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat Goki. They are actually in Arizona right now. They will be back early next week. And they're in Arizona visiting my oldest brother. Many of you have never met. His name is Jeff Goki. And you might remember that Jeff's youngest son, Cooper, was diagnosed with cancer, leukemia, about a year ago. And so I am expecting a report of total healing when my parents return. I cannot wait. I've been texting them back and forth. And I know that they're there praying over this little one. And they're going to say, "Cancer, go in Jesus' name." And we here are a family, are we not? So as a family, we speak also into the presence of what's going on there in Arizona, that Cooper would wake up this morning, 3 hours behind, maybe he's already awake, but that he would wake up and be cancer-free in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, that healing would be his portion today, and that enough is enough. So we speak that out and we expect a good report in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So I'm really excited to share today. You know, for me, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday last week was just phenomenal. But even the week before that, I was thinking about Palm Sunday and the joy and the glory of what God does. And at the end of the service, we waved all of the palm branches. And all I could think about is the passage in the Bible that talks about how people laid down their robes and they laid down palm branches and waved palm branches as Jesus triumphantly entered. And I thought to myself, what a shame it is that we only celebrate Palm Sunday once a year. You know, every Sunday we should be laying down our robes and waving mightily in the name of Jesus and saying, yes, Messiah, yes, O Lord, come into this place. Come in. And then on Easter, to see the resurrection and the power of Jesus Christ, that he not only died, but he died so that we might live, that he died and rose again and then made himself fully known to man, and that started the revolution to end all revolutions. That was inspiring to me. And at that point, I had no idea I would be speaking here this week because this trip to Arizona was very last minute. Nevertheless, here I am. And so as the Lord was speaking to me, I was like, wow, this is great, Lord. I really wish we had the same anointing every week. And so I've also been watching a series on TV called The Bible. And if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's so cool. You know, it's pretty accurate, and they do a good job of showing some things you may not have thought about as you read the Bible itself. But what I started to think about was this. What revelation the disciples enjoyed the moment that they saw their Lord and King come back to life. That they firsthand witnessed the resurrection and how transformational it must have been. And so I was praying about it this week and just asking the Lord, I'm like, man, Lord, I want to live in the revelation, the post-resurrection revelation. I want to live in the post-resurrection revelation. I do, because I can stay stagnant and say, oh, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross and for coming back. And that's as far as I could go. And that is enough. That's bread enough to sustain me. But I'm not one to just be sustained. I want to overeat in the Spirit. You know, I want to leave overly full, abundantly exploding with the power of Jesus. And so I was like, Lord, I want to live in the resurrection, post-resurrection mentality. I want revelation of what they understood. I want to be where the disciples were that minute that you walked in and they thought you were a ghost. But how can a ghost eat a fish, right? And how can a ghost be touched? And how can you see the holes in the hands of the Lord and Savior and see him for 40 days on earth? Bringing heaven to earth. How transformational. How igniting. And so that was all welling up in me just Sunday night, you know, and here I am now. I'm so excited because the Lord also, I was like, Lord, I want to hear kind of what these people were thinking. And so I started thinking, you know, why were there just the 12? And why did the Lord not bring Paul in as a disciple? You know, because Paul was Saul, and Saul was high up in the church, and blah, 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 blah. But Saul was a mighty man of God, according to the current beliefs of the day. And it didn't make any sense to me. I thought, man, you know, Paul wrote like half of the New Testament. Why was he not a true disciple? But how much more amazing is it that as he went in to stone Christians, that the Lord would reveal himself to him, that he would be blinded from all other understanding, and that he would become trepidatious and fall down below where his status level would have put him. That he would fall down and say, Lord, I humbly repent, and I want to see your kingdom come here on earth. And so I started to think, you know, why just the 12, and why not Saul? Because imagine had Saul began to follow Jesus while Jesus was alive before the crucifixion. Had Saul begun to be a part of the 12 or 13 or whatever it would have been, but, you know, the 12, had he been there, how easy would it have been to justify Christ if leaders of the church at that time began to recognize him? How much more easy or how much easier would it be for those that were already high and mighty and high up and refused to see? It would have been easier because they would have had to wonder why someone as educated as Saul would have come to know Jesus. And it would take away the element of seeking out and asking for yourself. And so I began to read and began to wonder, like, okay, you know, it's interesting because Christ made himself fully known. But people who chose to see could see, and those who chose to look away looked away, and they did not see that their Messiah was right in front of them because he did not meet the expectation that they had preconceived, right? And so Jesus Christ, there in the flesh, and they missed it. Can you imagine? I sometimes think maybe I would have been one of the people that missed it because I get a little cerebral from time to time and I over-evaluate, analyze, and think. So as I was reading 2 Corinthians 5. And this is the new revelation of why it is that we are crazy the way that we are. And it explains, if today's your first day at Frontline, welcome. 2 Corinthians 5 will help explain what goes on at Frontline. So I'm going to start with 13 and read through the end of the verses. Then we're going to play a video. And I want you to think about the sermon from last week. That as you walk your walk of faith, are you walking in what you see and know, or are you walking in the abundance of the promise of what he's given you? I was re-listening to my mom's sermon this morning, and she was mentioning that you need to walk in the promise, walk in what he's given you, hold on to the promise, and dream bigger than any dream your mind could come up with. So 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I love the words. It says this, verse 13, if it seems we are crazy, if it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if it seems we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all died to our old life. So think about this. This is this post-resurrection revelation. They're dying to themselves, and some of them are actually dying because they're being stoned and persecuted. Verse 15, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So he died so that those who receive their new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Welcome to Frontline Ministries International. My name is Mike Wheeler. Glad to have you. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. At one time, we, the disciples, we, the followers, thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Amen. How differently they know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has taken us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We here are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we may be made right through God with Christ. Amen? That is the heartbeat that we are crazy people. The message in verse 13 says, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. If I acted overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first in and the last word in everything we do. Christ's love, it is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And so I ask you today, what is the promise that you're holding on to? So as we watch this video here, I want to just share what it has been. It's been an anthem in my life, and I hope today that it becomes an anthem in your life as well. It's actually called Walk in the Promise, which I don't believe that my mother purposely stated when she was mentioning that last Sunday on Easter. But it's called Walk in the Promise. It's from Bethel Music featuring Jeremy Riddle. But the reason this is not only important is because the Mozambique team last year apparently listened to this for like 1,732 hours. And also, my mom actually found a computer somewhere out in the middle of the bush and said, honey, the Lord gave us this song and we know it's for you as you prepare for the bar exam. And so I thought to myself, yeah, right, whatever. I turned it on my iPhone and then the presence of the Holy Spirit filled the room where I was. And I became addicted to the Lord. I did. I became addicted, and I was like, Lord, I am walking in your promise, because right now I know where I am is where you have sent me to be, and I am walking in this, and your promise is more and more and more, and I am going to let you dream for me. So today, as you turn on this music and on this song, allow the Lord to just run through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to breathe new promises in your life, and allow the post-resurrection revelation to become the food that you eat today. So go ahead and, Dan, go ahead and press play, and let's enjoy and walk in the promise together.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord. And on that note, it's that simple. I mean, it's that simple that his peace can literally flow in from where you are, and that every distraction in your life can become seemingly pointless. And that every important thing to you suddenly shrinks in value compared to the magnificence of our God. And that the promises that you've held on to, you realize suddenly are so small. And that you want to walk in his promise. That you want to die so that he might live. That you want to let your revelation of who you were yesterday die, so that you can become a new person who walks with a mighty torch of fire. And that fire isn't the fire of man, but it is the fire of the Holy Spirit, the purifying fire that flows through and touches generations. It is walking in the promise of who you were created to be and who you are intended to be. It's knowing that God controls all. And that when you are aware of and receive revelation of the glory of God, then you are truly tethered to the Lord's heart. It's when you're in his glory that the great commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That comes alive. Go into all the world and preach the gospel becomes your heartbeat. The end of this age cannot come until the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is preached throughout the world. We must be fully alive with God's kingdom heart to be a part of advancing his kingdom on earth. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. The gospel is good news. And we have been given the greatest news we have ever or will ever hear. We have the responsibility to act as a nation under the body of Christ, the nation of Jesus Christ, that we as a holy nation rise up within the nations, and that we consider a kingdom economy and every other practical way to function through this season, through this time, and to prepare the way of the Lord, the way that we are told by the Lord, that we tear down the high places built for man and raise up in the low places where we make the crooked a highway for God. That we live an Isaiah 40 lifestyle, that we clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, that we make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. May it be so. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. May our lives be such a place where dry bones rise up, where deserts turn into an oasis for Jesus. May we see every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. May we walk and see rough ground become plain. May that be who we are. May Isaiah 35:8 also be part of our life, where it says, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. Let's be tethered to the Lord. There has to be a full repentance and commitment to the Lord so that our thoughts become his thoughts and our ways become his ways. Just like Isaiah 55 says, may his thoughts be our thoughts and his ways be our ways. When we live glory-filled lives, when we live in the post-resurrection revelation, we will be pure vessels, clear and free. We'll be in a much better position to hear. we're in a better position to see. We're in a better position to heal, to feel, to understand, to see the miracles come on earth. We will be in a better position to interpret the frequency of heaven, allowing us to truly step in to the fullness of who we are and what we are supposed to be doing. That is the power of the cross. But it's also the power that the stone in front of the tomb was rolled away, and that the power of Jesus Christ came forth and changed the world that we live in, so that we would not eat by bread alone, but he would be the sustenance, the bread of our life. The Lord gave me a revelation this week of the tomb. And as the stone rolled away, I don't know why, I always have wondered, you know, stones that roll must be circular. You know, and as the stone rolled out from the tomb, I saw light peering forth from the actual doorway where the Lord was buried in that tomb. But as the stone rolled, it turned from stone into a picture of the earth. And I saw the different continents etched on the stone, and that the heart of the Lord was that because he rose again and gave us freedom so that we might live, that salvation would be ours, that he also gives us the calling that we would go into all the world, and that we would take the glory and the revelation of the empty cross and the empty tomb, that we would take it to the world, and that it would be etched on our heart, and that we would run with the light of Jesus Christ that peers out from the darkest places meant to bury things from the past. Thank you, Jesus, for new revelation. So we might ask ourselves, are we living glory-filled lives? Yeah, we are, but let's lead better, more glory-filled lives. We might ask ourselves, you know, really, specifically, how do we connect with the things of God? The Lord truly wants to restore his roar to his people so that we stand free from fear, so that the righteous, can be so bold as a lion for the sake of the gospel. And you know what a lion does? It's not that he's bold or arrogant, but he walks with purpose. And as his paw comes down, he walks like this. His paw comes down and he steps knowing I have authority in this place. And that I'm going to go after the things that I have authority over. Man doesn't fully understand, but they understand enough to know that the lion is the king. But my lion, the lion that I follow, is the king of righteousness. He is the king of the heavens and of the earth. He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And that we can be bold for the sake of the gospel. Genesis 49:9 actually says that we have a roar of praise. You know, a praise, the Judah, the lion of Judah, the roar of praise. And we see the lions and lionesses are strong and courageous, but they're not necessarily raging. Right? They have grown from a lion's whelp. They have grown, you know, from having little power to becoming older lions that are calm and quiet, yet formidable to the enemy. They roar when it's time to roar, but they walk with intention. They know their sphere of influence and peaceably enjoy what was received through victories. Their victories and victories from generations before and before and before. They know who they are. So those lions, they are still and wise and crouched down so as to say, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Don't be a busybody. Be specific. And know that I am God. I have paid the price. I have paved the way. It is the post-resurrection revelation that fuels us and fires us and gives us the drive to go and see the lost saved, to go and see the hurting experience new life, to go and see that the little things do matter because everything matters to the Lord. So, since we know the righteous are bold as lions, we might ask ourselves, are we living bold like lions? You know, it's easy to say, at some point, my roar became weak during my Christian walk. Maybe we need to look back for a moment and just glance and recognize at what happened in our lives. And we can say, you know what? No. No more. I am not fellowshipping with that lying spirit that is trying to change mentality in my life. I am not fellowshipping with a half version of who I am. I am not fellowshipping with a person that gazes only at a man stuck on a cross, or a person that gazes only at a tomb with a stone in front of it. I am a person that's going to gaze at the light of Jesus peering out from the darkest places, and my heart is going to be etched with the world on it. Until my Lord and Savior comes, I am going to go and preach the gospel to the nations, because I will be still and know that He is God. You have to say, oh no, oh no, no, no way. I will not fellowship with the lying spirit, because Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is not going to kill, steal, or destroy my roar for the Lord. Amen. Maybe our roar became a purr, you know, a purr, like my cats. And that's cool. You know, at least you're doing something for the Lord. Keep on going. But may your purr become a roar. It's time to restore the roar in our lives. It's time to rise up and say, I can be still and courageous and know who I am, but I will roar when it is time, and I will say no in the spirit, and I will make this earth shatter, because it's under my tongue that I have the power to say, mountain, be cast into the sea. I have the authority over this land, and I have the authority over sickness. I have authority over everything, because I am the Son of God. And it's all through the saving power of Jesus Christ. Yes? So Lord, restore our roars today. May our little pure, you know, hearts that want more. Lord, destroy our old desires. Lord, destroy our old dreams. May we change our purr to a roar. And maybe, you know, you were roaring, and suddenly you find, oh, suddenly I'm purring. And it could be due to neglect, you know, maybe unmet expectations. How many times have you hoped for something and you had a vision of what you thought those expectations would reveal? Imagine what the Pharisees and Sadducees experienced when they realized that their expectations weren't exactly what it was that they thought it would be, that they missed the Messiah. You have not missed the Messiah, so you are in a better place than they. Your unmet expectations might cause you to purr or murmur. Maybe you have offense. Maybe you've walked in defamation, slander, libel, all those fun things. Maybe, honestly, maybe somebody's spoken out against you. You've been defamed by someone, and that has destroyed your roar. Maybe it's gossip, lust, bitterness, anger, confusion, any sin for that matter. However, the roar is just one repentance away. Isn't it great to know that no matter what happened, no matter how horrible or tragic it seems, no matter what happened, that it is easy to restore the roar with repentance and humility. So, all of you, if you're still here on this planet, which I think most of you are, if you're still here on this planet, you are here for a reason. Honestly, you are here for a reason. Maybe you've thought, I should take my life. This life was given to you to change the world. Restore your roar. If you are here on this planet, restore the roar. You are here for a reason, and God created you. He created you alone in His own image, not to be passive, but to roar with the righteous name of Jesus, and roar with repentance, and roar with humility. To be humble, to go lower and say, Lord, less of me. Let me die to myself so that I might gain. Let me die to myself that I might arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Honestly, arise, shine. Come on. Some of those kids' songs, they make total sense. It's so simple. When did we get so complex? Honestly. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living waters and I thirst no more, thirst no more, thirst no more, thirst no more. Seriously, like, dude, The joy of the Lord is my strength, not thirsty, living waters. So simple, right? But isn't it wonderful to know the Lord can return us to simplicity, that Christ's perfect love decimates all fear. Maybe you're in a place of fear where you had the roar, and maybe the roar hurt, and now you're fearful of what could happen if you go back to the roar. Christ's perfect love decimates all fear. Therefore, love himself is asking us to be fearless, to have a post-resurrection revelation, to be fearless like those disciples and like Paul, to go in and say, I have seen the King of Kings, and I will shout and I will speak, and no man will stop the words coming from my lips, because I must tell you that the King of Kings has come, that he entered our earth humbly as a babe, was born without sin so that we might live and live again, and that we might have fully changed lives, that we might have a glimpse of his glory, that we would live glory-filled lives where the Holy Spirit literally ushers in and lives in through and around us, that those who know us feel the presence of Jesus, that they look in our eyes and they see sweet peace, that they see whatever medicine it is that they need, because the medicine that we carry is not man-made. It is the medicine of heaven, the medicine that restores the Lou, medicine that restores the soul. Seriously. He created us in his image so that his face might be displayed to those who need him most. That's why he did that. So that his eyes could peer through our eyes. That he could use our hands. That our hearts could beat with his heart. That our ears could hear him alone. So never, ever underestimate the impact of one encounter with God. One encounter, whether it be your encounter right now, or an encounter that you've had in the past, or an encounter that you're about to experience. Watch out. Because don't underestimate the power of one encounter, because the Lord will shift your life. He will change your trajectory, and God will bring you a face-to-face moment with the roar. A face-to-face moment that will change your entire life. Remember, Christ's children are not ruled by a spirit of fear. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, so I'm throwing things together. But the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So his peace goes above anything I ever knew or will know. All I need to know is that I walk in the promise. That I walk in the promise and that the glory belongs to him. I walk in who he is. Then I don't need to understand where I'm going or what it looks like. But that peace must transcend my understanding. That I will guard my heart and my minds in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. The Lord, his understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And declared in Hebrews 12, 26 or 27, it says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and everything is now being shaken. Yes? According to Luke 21, 28, our response should be the following. We need to straighten up. We need to lift up our heads because our redemption is near. To straighten up is what our parents used to tell us when we were little. When you're getting out of line, straighten up. It's time to straighten up. It means the same thing here. We must put off the sin, the dissipation, and lukewarm spirit to walk uprightly before the Lord. It's about being excellent and being flexible. What? Being excellent and being flexible. My mom last week was talking about how we need to be excellent in what the Lord is doing. We need to take what the Lord is saying and say, yes, Lord, I will go and I will do. And sometimes it's great. It's wonderful when you can plan something out for a month, a year, 2 years in advance. And in the areas of your life where the Lord gives you the opportunity to plan ahead, do it. Plan ahead. Be excellent. Do your best. Don't procrastinate. But the reason he gives you the opportunity to plan ahead is so that you can be ready, so that your plans, once they get in, he can then throw some flexibility at you. He can throw some things at you that you weren't expecting to do, like maybe a mission trip to Brazil. You know, they're planning ahead. We know there's mission trips this summer. We're going to get going. Oh, all of a sudden they're on the plane to Brazil. Oh, all of a sudden they're on the plane to Arizona because the Lord has called them to set the captives free, whether it be the children in the favela or whether it be their grandchild that is afflicted with cancer. They will be set free in the name of Jesus, and they will go and be flexible. And the reason they can go isn't because they are oh so holy, it's because they have the ability to plan ahead and be excellent in the areas where the Lord has already told them they are going. So that they have, basically, the plates are spinning on their hands. They're spinning and spinning, they're working on it. They're working on the things the Lord is doing, which means that, oh Lord, I'm not spinning the plates, you are. And so if you're taking care of the mission trips coming this summer, then yes, Lord, send me to the nations. Send me to Brazil. Send me to Arizona. Send me wherever you might have me, because my heart is where your heart is and my timeline is your timeline. So yes, be excellent in all things. But part of your excellence is learning to be flexible and to lay down your robe so that the King of Glory may come in triumphantly. Lay down whatever's on your back, whatever your burden is, so that he may trample over it and give you something new, something covered in the mud of Jesus Christ, something covered in what you weren't expecting. Did you expect the Messiah to walk in here? Did you expect it? Maybe you didn't, but he is here and he is here today. And he says that you need to lift up your heads, walk in encouragement and with boldness. Where does boldness and encouragement come from, though? Proverbs 28 tells us that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Again, the righteous are those who do what is right in the sight of the Lord. There is no greater peace or joy or confidence that we can have more than knowing that we are right with the Lord, which involves believing him and receiving his heart of love completely and being flexible when he says go. He didn't necessarily tell the disciples when to go. He just said, go and preach the gospel. The beauty of it is we have the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit will say, oh, now's the time. Time to go. Everyone, get in your cars, go. So when you leave here today, go. Preach the gospel to this nation. And rise up as a nation of Christendom. Honestly, we are all together in Christ. We rise up together in unity, whether we become Americans, Canadians, Brazilians, whatever. We are one together, and we are changing the man-made nations for the Lord. Amen. And so we lift up our heads. And we have no doubt, we believe in him, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17. Amen? Amen. See, man-made peace and happiness can be found in the world momentarily. Man-made peace and happiness does not last. And in fact, it's getting harder and harder to find. The more complex our little lives are, the less peaceful we become, the less happy we are, the less we enjoy the things that man gives us. Soon, I believe, it will be impossible for us to find any peace or happiness through the things of man. Thus, bringing us back to the source of repentance, the true righteous one, to the throne of the Lamb of God. There is only one source of true peace. There is only one source of true joy. It is abiding in the Lord and living in his kingdom. You may think, I'm not qualified. There's a reason that the Lord chose 12 unqualified individuals. He didn't put Saul, who was overly qualified and knew all about the Torah, aka the Old Testament. There's a reason that he put the unqualified in there. Because 2 Peter 1, 9 through 12 says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted." You are qualified. You are overqualified. You are overqualified because you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the glory of the Lord. So, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins." You have been purified. Do not forget. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you." You have the qualities because the Lord is developing in you. And as long as the Lord is living in and through you, the quality of love will pass out through your lips. There is power in salvation. There's power and revelation, but there's also power in baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the moment where suddenly Jesus has gone again? Like, great. Yes, Jesus, you're back. Jesus left again, you know? Like, oh my gosh, we're here all alone. Like, literally, oh Lord, now what? What do we do? I think we'll go back to an upper room. Let's all congregate. No, I mean, honestly, what do you do? Like, how amazing would it be to have the Lord that you have followed for years come back, that you would touch him, be with him, minister with him. Can you imagine being on the road to Emmaus and suddenly seeing Jesus? Yes, I can. Lord, feel free to do that here today. Come on in. Walk through the wall, Lord. We welcome you into this sanctuary. Walk on in. Lord, I want to give you a hug. I want to give you a hug. Come on in. Can you imagine what those people were experiencing when they lost their Lord? When they had heard the power of God, they had seen the power of God, that they had known this man was no longer just a man, but he was God. And then suddenly this man is crucified, having no sin whatsoever, having done no wrong. Talk about injustice. He dies. The veil in the temple is torn. God leaves the temple. But Jesus dies. This man, he's dead. They wrap him up, put him in a tomb, and they roll a stone in front so that no one would steal his body. What grief can you imagine they would be experiencing? And confusion, and probably fear for their lives. But then, 3 days later, the tomb is empty. The angels are appearing. And suddenly the Lord walks in peace. However, just like a lion, knowing exactly that it is his will to be there, that it is his purpose and his destiny to be there. He walks in righteously, not blaring a trumpet, not with a great fanfare or parade, but he walks in triumphantly and says, "Here I am. Here I am." Can you imagine seeing your Lord raised from the dead and then spending 40 days with him? Can you imagine what type of revelation they experienced in those 40 days? They had the post-resurrection revelation. They had literally the entire movement of Christianity given to them, birthed in them, and breathed into them. And then as the Lord arose back into heaven and said, "Lo, I'll be with you through all the days of the earth," they went and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you think they had a grid for that? Did that meet their expectations of what the one, the comforter, would look like or feel like or be like? Maybe they actually thought that they were getting a blanket, like an actual comforter, you know? I don't know. Or maybe they thought it was going to be another man, or who knows what they thought. But can you imagine being baptized in the Holy Spirit, having tongues, you know, flames of fire, and then speaking in different tongues, which you had no knowledge of. And then people out in the crowds hearing those tongues be spoken and massive revelation go into the crowds and see salvation of thousands take place because they spoke a new language entirely derived from the Holy Spirit. Do you think it stopped there and that was it? Like, woohoo, we got 3,000 people. Christ is done. No. That was the beginning. It was a picture of where we can go. That we can be men who rise up and women who rise up and children who rise up. And that we can walk and speak in new tongues. And that we would see people that do not understand us come to know the power and the saving love and resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is so much more than just understanding. It is being transformed. It is having a new promise about walking in the promise from glory to glory. You know, there's the narrow road. If you are walking on the right path, if you are on the narrow road, then your life will become brighter and bolder to those who see you, making you a target. But at the same time, you become a bright light that goes into the deepest corners of darkness, just like the light that peered forth from the tomb. You become a person that walks on a narrow road. And there will be traps set up that want to push you off of that narrow road, you know, that tightrope in the kingdom that you're walking. You know, as Peter walked on water, the key to walking on water, folks, is to keep your eyes on him. Yeah. There are traps all around. But Peter, all he had to do is say, yes, Lord, I see you. You're not a ghost. I'm going to walk out. Can you imagine if I just saw Jesus right now and he was standing up there, I could walk right off of the stage and not touch that floor. Because I would know that my eyes are focused on him and that he wants me to come to him. It's not about something in the physical that I could or could not do. It's something about the supernatural, knowing that our God is bigger than what we see, our God is bigger than what we know, and our God is bigger than the laws of man. Our God is able to use any one of us for whatever it is that he has planned. Look at the crummy people that he pulled together. You know, like a tax collector, Matthew. Yuck. You know, well, I don't really like IRS agents, but for me, I kind of think of like today's tax collector is kind of like an ambulance chaser. You know, like just a greasy lawyer that wants to make a buck in every possible way. That is just a person that no one really likes. You know, if they fell off a boat, people would have to think twice before sending out a life preserver. That sort of person, you know, like, ugh, Jesus loves you. Like, and Lord, bless all of them. Bless them. Breathe truth into their lives, Jesus. But can you imagine? He associated himself with former prostitutes, with tax collectors. What more can he do with you? What can he do with you? How can you rise up in your sphere of influence? How can you have the revelation of the resurrection, but not hold it on for yourself, but preach it out to the nations? How can you go and say, yes, this is my inheritance, because I am on the right path. I'm on the narrow road, and I will not be pushed off a tightrope into the depths below. I will not fall into the trap set by the enemy to harm me. I will not partner with the enemy's strategies to keep me down. I will keep my head up and my eyes focused on Jesus. And I will follow the Lord. And I will at the same time allow him to shake me. I will allow him to shake everything out of me that can be shaken. I will allow him to shake off the old and to clad me in the new, to give me a new robe that's specifically tailored by him for me, that I would walk in the ways of his righteousness and that I would follow his paths and that I would rise up knowing who I am. And when I roar, that mountains truly would fall into the sea. And when I stand still, the earth would quake beneath my feet, because it bows down before the Lord, because the earth and even the rocks and the trees will cry out, Hosanna, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. They will cry out and give glory to God. I will not partner with the enemy's plan and tactics and strategy for my life. I will not keep my head down. I will keep my head up so that I can be shaken and leave a stronger person. I will set my mind and affections on things above, and that I will not focus here on earthly things. That I will ask, Lord, what is your good and perfect gift? What is your dream for me? Lord, how do I dream bigger? What is it that your desire is so that I may walk in it? And Father, I want to become effective in the kingdom of God so that hell fears me. I will be effective here on earth, and we will see heaven overflowing with souls. I want to see an expansion project in heaven. An expansion project because there's just not enough rooms in all of those houses. Because so many more are going to come to know him. There's just not enough room. Can you imagine in the New Jerusalem, we're going to have to build some suburbs on the outside because there are going to be too many people. Too many people. Maybe they won't be on the outside, but the New Jerusalem, who knows? It's going to have more room because there's a whole lot more people coming because this church exists. And when you are a part of this church family, you have the authority to roar. You have the authority to walk and see the earthquake. You have the authority to rise up and change the world around you. And you have the authority to go and put your hand on the sores of the lepers and say, be dried up and be healed. You have the authority to walk in and go into a mental hospital and tell the demons to go in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to rise up and put your hands on the eyes of the blind or on the sockets where there is no eye and say, I be formed. I see, walk in the authority and the promise. Walk in the promise of who he is. Walk in his promise because it is your portion. It is what you were created to be. There is a reason why you are here on earth and not in heaven yet. There is a reason why you are here. Let every day be a new day for him. Be a person that walks in joy and strength. But the joy of the Lord, may it be your strength. Walk in joy and walk in peace. Be in peace. Lord, we thank you for what you have done here today. We thank you for this opportunity to congregate together, Father. And Father, we ask that you would fill the seats of this sanctuary, not because our message is better than the next church down the street, but Father, because you are tangibly here. And we hurt as long as people that don't know you are out there on the streets. Father, change the lives of those we come in contact with, whether it be people at the library or at the gas station or on an airplane on our way to Africa, change the lives of those around us. Father, we ask for a kingdom perspective. Shake everything that can be shaken. Shake everything that can be shaken in our lives, that we would rise up as new people and that we would know who we are and that we walk according to your word, that we would straighten up and we would lift our heads because your redemption is near. Father, we lift our heads and we walk in encouragement and boldness. Because, Father, we are righteous and we are bold as a lion. We are those who are right in the sight of you, in the sight of you, O Father. And we stand by your side. We stand up with you and we ask, Father, let us run the good race with you. Lord, may we mount up with wings as eagles. May we run and not grow weary. May we walk and not faint. May we walk out of this church and run out of this church and fly out of this church. New people today, O Lord. Father, confuse the old mentalities and set them aside. May we have a new impactful revelation of who you are and the power of the Holy Spirit. May we come to understand the facets of your glory, that we would see the different pictures of your face, the different beams of light that come out from your eyes, Father, that we would be set on fire, that we would be a raging and wild inferno where we cannot be contained in the name of Jesus, and that salvation would be on our tongue, and the word of your Son is testimony in our lives, and that you alone are the one true source of peace in our lives. We stand up today and we say yes. We say yes in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. We ask for more. We ask for more. Lord, overload us in the presence of your Spirit. Overload us in our understanding of who you are. And Father, overload us this week as we head into the 24/7 prayer and worship, that we would have a new revelation of what this church is set to do, that we would have a new revelation of who we are, and that, Lord, we would begin to run, and that as we run, we would not grow weary. Father, that we would run and run harder, and that this race would be a race that we win, a race where the enemy bows out and is broken off in the name of Jesus, because we run the race with you, O Lord, and you are the true winner. You are the one, O Lord, who will come back majestically, riding on a cloud, riding on your white horse. O Lord, we live to see that day. We live to see your bride come and be part in the final wedding feast. Father, we live to see your kingdom here on earth. Father, we live that 10,000 days would not be enough to proclaim the love of Jesus. 10,000 days would not be enough where we will have only begun to sing your praise. Father, that there is so much overflowing, fountains of your glory would come out from where we are. And Father, that you would dust us off, that the areas where we've allowed dust to settle, Father, shake us. Shake that dust off. Lord, spring clean us in the name of Jesus, that we would see change in Jesus' name, that every person here would be blessed and every person connected would be blessed. And again, we break off that nasty, lying, cheating spirit of cancer off of Cooper Gokey in Jesus' name. And we speak cleansing, love, and redemption over that household. We speak restoration, and that every moment together will be good in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. So, that being said, I do want to let you know, 24/7 worship is coming this week. I don't know if you've heard yet, but you should really come. Invite your friends. It's going to be awesome. And then also, look to your manual for more direction. Find some information about what's going on at Frontline this week. And finally, everyone, stand up. Find somebody that you don't necessarily know. Give them a hug. Tell them Jesus loves them. Be blessed. Have a great week. And then also, don't forget to move chairs in the back. Thank you. God bless you.